David, thank you for such an invigorating song service this morning. And thank all of you for being here. We're delighted that you've come. And if you are here this morning as a guest of members of our congregation, or perchance you just wandered in on your own, we're so glad that you have chosen to be a part of our worship this morning. And we pray that thus far you have been encouraged and inspired to serve the great and living God of heaven. This morning, we are so blessed in so many, many wonderful ways. We should never be those who are back and forth, wishy-washy Christians, or unwavering children of God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because I know that in our world, we have so many that have named the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And at one time, they were very, very faithful to God and to the church. But many have wandered away from the fold of safety. And in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says that when we pray, that we are to ask in faith, nothing wavering, he says, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So when we pray, we should pray in great faith, that is, believing that what we're asking God to do, he is going to do. Christ said, when we ask in his name, believing, we will receive, and we're confident of that. As we mentioned, however, in our Bible class this morning, God does not always move on our time schedule. We have a way sometimes of trying to make our calendar God's calendar. Or perhaps maybe our clock, his clock, and that just doesn't work at all. God moves in his own way, and we're thankful and grateful that he does, because he knows what's best. But that does not negate the fact that you and I are to be a people that pray in great faith before God. Sometimes people who are unfaithful to the Lord expect the Lord to bless them and care for them, and just every time they go before God and pray. But you know what? If we're not faithful unto God, why should God be faithful unto us? Or why would God be so concerned about us, those of us who are so nonchalant when it comes to our Father who is in heaven? Wavering is really a common thing in most churches. People will be faithful for a while, and then they decide they don't want to be faithful for a while. In the book of James, however, James says, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." If I were to ask you the question this morning, are all of you faithful unto God? You would probably say, oh yes, we're all faithful to God. But how faithful are you? Many of us judge or determine one's faithfulness by whether or not he enters into the foyer and comes into the church auditorium and worships with us. Our church attendance is that which determines whether or not one is faithful to God. That's not the basis, however. It may be the basis for faithful in attendance, but it's not necessarily the basis for faithful unto God. We must have an unsinkable faith. It amazes me, and I'm astounded at times when things happen in people's lives that just shake their faith, and they begin to question and wonder whether or not God is out there somewhere. Maybe because he hasn't moved in our direction, or maybe we're allowing certain things to take place in our life that are very difficult to deal with, but God is still faithful. I want to talk to you this morning about this concept. First of all, I would tell you that we serve an unwavering Savior. Have you ever thought or considered the fact that God is unwavering in every way? He doesn't change his mind. David said, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Peter said, "The grass may wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will abide forever." Jesus said, "My word will not pass away," Matthew chapter 24. And it is so true, isn't it? And the Word of God is just as relevant today and just as powerful today as it has ever been. And it will always be, because the Word of God, you cannot eradicate. You may burn all the Bibles, but you can't eradicate the Word of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Paul would write in the book of Hebrews 13 and verse 8, He is still just as much alive as He has ever been. If you were to go to read the book of Jeremiah, especially chapters 40, 41, 42, 43, and 44, you would find that in prophecy, Christ would be our unwavering Savior. And He is. For Hebrews 10:23 also gives us this admonition, to let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. You know what that means? It means you act on your faith. Faith can be just a profession, as he says here, but he says, hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering, for he that is faithful that promised. God say, I don't want you to be a Christian today and be a non-Christian tomorrow. I don't want you to be a child of God next week, but not be one today. God wants us to be genuine through and through. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, one of the big problems in our world today, there's so many things that attract our attention. And because of it, we're drawn away from God, like James says. We have to keep our eyes on Christ. You remember out on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus actually was calling for Peter and for others to come to him. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus. But the Bible says that he looked at the waves that were around him and he felt the pressure of the wind. And it was so great that he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, that's a great lesson for you and I. I don't know what you're going through in life, but I know one thing. You need to keep your eye on Christ. You need to keep your eye on our Savior. If you're willing, if you're not willing to learn, no one else can help you. But if you are determined to learn, no one can stop you. And so I applaud those people that come into the house of worship with the intent not only of worshiping, but with the intent and the tremendous desire to actually learn more of God. You know, Jesus said to someone one time, and they were questioning about whether or not we're going to be married in heaven. Are we going to have the same wife in heaven or the same husband in heaven? And Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of Almighty God. Now, that's why we need to learn. Paul said of some that they were ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. When you keep your eyes on the Lord in Matthew 14, as I said, verse 22 through verse 33, you will be able to come to Christ. It's not just walking on water, but you will reach your destination. You will reach the Christ that you're walking toward when you keep your eyes on Him. You see, trusting God is like Peter walking on that water. As soon as you quit trusting Him, and that's exactly and precisely what Peter did. He took his eyes, he wasn't focused on Jesus. He just kept focusing on Jesus and kept on walking. He would have made it, but he took his eyes off Jesus, and he's looking here in every direction at the wind and the waves, and he falls into the water, and you start sinking. But great things happen when we stay focused on Christ. Peter looked at the waves. And you know what? It's so easy today to take our eyes off Jesus, isn't it? It's so easy for us to focus on all the problems that we have going in our life. And we all have problems. And is there anyone in this congregation here this morning that does not have a problem? Anybody? How many of you have problems? Well, now, I'm going to tell you something. You're somewhere. You're either having a problem or you're not. You either had a problem, you have one now, or you will have one in the future. Problems are common to us. For Job 14, 1 and 2 said that man who is born of woman is full of trouble. Trouble is there. It's going to be there. That's why we have to just stay focused on Jesus Christ. You will not waver if you do, verse 29. We have to keep the faith, keep going forward, and don't look back, don't give up on God. Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. Did you know that ships, think about this one, ships don't sink because the water around them. The water around them holds them up. Ships sink because of the water that gets inside of them. If I could tell you that the water is representative of the world that is around us. And what we do, instead of saying afloat with Jesus, we let all the world come in. And that's what we've done, the church, isn't it? When you analyze it, we have become, in many, many cases, the world has the worldly church. Instead of taking the gospel to the world, we have brought the world into the church. And the church has become so much like the immoral folk out in our world. We cannot allow the water to get inside of the church. The problems, the immorality. Stop, think about it. If your boat is sinking this morning, who's sinking your boat? You can't blame anyone else. We have to blame ourselves. Because we are the ones who allowed the water to get in. Secondly, this morning, we honor an unwavering Bible. Not only do we honor an unwavering Savior, and Jesus is still the same, always will be the same, but we honor an unwavering Bible, the Word of Jehovah God. It is unwavering. A lot of people like to say, well, you know, we just live in a different culture today than they lived in during the days of Jesus. Or they say, well, you know, we're living in a different century and everything's not the same. I'm not saying that things are not the same. But that's not because God wanted them to change. You know who wanted them to change? We did. And the change that was wrought was a change that was against the will of God. God said, I change not. He said, I'm eternal and I change not. And the Word does not change either. We got a lot of folks today that read the Bible and say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't really believe that's what it means. Who are you? Who am I to stand in the pulpit and say, here's what it says, but it really doesn't mean that? You know what? We're kind of like those reporters on television, aren't we? I mean, we are. We turn on the evening news and they start telling you all kinds of things about what different people said and what they didn't say and all that. And they have just totally destroyed the evening news or the morning news. And it has gotten to the point that most of what you hear on what they call the news is nothing but commentary. They're not giving you the news. They're not telling you what's going on around the world. But they're giving you their commentary about things. They tell you about what's going on in Washington. Or they tell you what's going on out in these different universities where people are staging protests and all these kinds of things. And then they say, well, now we're going to bring in so-and-so and see what he thinks about it. They don't give you the news. They give you a watered-down version and their own commentary. But the Bible is still the guide. We must go forward in the right direction based upon verse 30. We have to go forward, and we have to go upward, and we have to go closer to the Christ who has asked us to honor Him. And I'm so thankful for all the wonderful little lights that are out there in the world that are still holding up the Christ and His Word. Someone has said, I didn't come this far to only come this far. But you know what happens? That's what happens with a lot of folks. They come so far, and that's as far as they're going to go. They quit growing, and they wonder what happened to their relationship with God. They quit growing, and let me tell you something. You know how you grow? You don't grow on your opinions. You don't grow on what you think. You grow on this book. And that's why Paul, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, he says, when the time has come for you to be teachers of the word, you still need someone to teach you the beggarly elements of the word of God. And that's a shame, isn't it? We all ought to be growing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 18 says that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In that book of Philippians that Paul addressed when he was in prison, or actually chained to a Roman guard, he says, put God in front of you at all times. Your eyes must be upon him. And he says, stop looking back. He said, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I forget what is behind. I want to follow Jesus. You ever thought about this? Jesus is not going to be behind you. He's going to be out in front of you. If he is the example, and the Bible says he left us this example that we should follow in his steps. You don't follow the steps back here. You follow the steps that are out in front of you, don't you? That's where the steps are. But we got a lot of people that don't want to follow Jesus anymore. They want to stay right where they are. We ought to always pray to have eyes that see the best in people and a heart that forgives the worst and a mind that forgets the bad and a soul that never loses its faith in God. That, my friend, is a description of the unwavering Christian. Don't let anyone's ignorance, hate, drama, negativity stop you from becoming the best person that you can be. Have you ever noticed in life sometimes how people are always putting somebody else down? You know, politicians do it all the time. I mean, if you don't believe that, just look at television a little bit. You'll see that they're constant. They're not running on what they can do or what they will do, but they're talking about running somebody down instead of lifting someone up. That's what we ought to be doing. And in the church of the living God, that's the same way. We must never be guilty of running down a brother or a sister in Christ. We must lift them up. Do what we can to lift their spirits. Life is too short to stress ourselves with people who don't even deserve to be an issue in your life. That is so true, folks. God will always make a way for you and for me. That we don't have to be like that wave of the sea that bounces from here to over here, but you and I are a people that will be, as Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, when he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians 6 and verse 9, be not weary in well-doing, knowing that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up on God. Don't let your faith sink. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we want to be unwavering, we need to understand that our mind must arrive at our destination before your life does. You know, your mind is so important. Your mind is you when you really stop and think about it. It's the inner man. And if we don't get our mind there first... I talked to a lady one time, and I knew it was so difficult for her to come to worship. And I said to her, I said, how is it that you can hobble in and get to worship with all the things that are going on in your life? And you know what she said? She said, my heart gets there first. And you know what? In life, that's true. We must understand what our destination is and make sure our heart and our mind get there before we do. And quit being so fearful in life. But so many people are filled with fear and anxiety. We just have to keep trusting in God and holding on to the faith. If I ask you this morning, do you have faith or do you have fear? Are you controlled by your faith or are you controlled by your fear, your apprehension? What do you choose in life? When trials come, when death comes, fear has no power. You and I walk by faith, the Bible says, not by fear. I hear people, it just disturbs me so bad when I hear these people say, well, you know, I just can't see my way clear to do whatever. That's not walking by faith, folks, because if your eyes have to see, instead of basing your relationship with an unwavering faith, you have missed the whole point. The stronger the faith, the harder the test. You've read the little cliche that says God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. And he does. The stronger the faith, as I said, the harder the test. But the rewards are greater. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:55 and following, Paul says that death is swallowed up in victory. Not fear. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we love, and we have an unwavering church, and I can say that about this congregation of people. You don't ever have to worry about this congregation being an unwavering church of the living God. This church abounds in the doctrine of Jesus Christ our Lord. And when the winds of life blow and the storms of life arise, you and I are safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. I'll say it again. When the winds of life blow, or the storms will arise, you and I are safe because we are the body of Jesus Christ. And Christ has promised to preserve the body, Ephesians chapter 5. But Paul says again, beloved, be steadfast. You know what that means to be steadfast? That means you follow the course. It means you just keep on keeping on. You're unmovable. The wind's not going to shift you and blow you over here away from God because you're steadfast and you're abounding in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The song says, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And he must be. You may not have a whole lot to hold on to in this life, but tell me something. You only need one thing, and that's Jesus and his word and the church. That's the anchor of the soul. And we should be longing for an unwavering heaven. Aren't you? You know, we never really talk so much about the permanency of heaven, but it is permanent. Did you know that? If you and I make it to heaven, we're there forever. We're good. Bible calls heaven the eternal city. It is the city that lies four square. Eternal. Eternal. And our life as a Christian is eternal life, isn't it? John writes in the book of Revelation 22, let him that is athirst come, and let him take of the fountain of the water of life freely. And every one of us can embark upon this great journey toward heaven, an unwavering place based upon verse 33, we serve and worship an unwavering Lord. And we will pray and we study the Word of God. And we serve God. That's what this church is all about. And don't quit. Just keep on doing what God has asked you to do. And the moment when you want to quit is the moment when you need to keep on pushing. Rest if you must. But don't quit. You've heard the old expression, quitters never win, and winners never quit. Christ said, friend, my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare that place, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1 through 6. And don't be weary in well-doing. As long as you're doing the will of God, don't you grow weary. Don't grow faint, one translation says, because we're going to reap the benefit of the life of Christ. What are you focused on this morning? Really focused on in your life? I hope your eyes have been focused up here. But I'm talking about in your life, in your heart. Where are you focused? We have to start focusing on what really matters in life. And when we realize that we're focused on the wrong things, and we have to make an about face and start focusing on the right thing. And start magnifying Jesus in our life, as Paul would write. And we all have choices in life. But sometimes we just don't make the right choice. And we have to change our choice and let Jesus become the frontlet before our eyes and his cross. He gave his life that we might go to heaven. And every day, not just on Sunday morning when we assemble as a church, but when we come together, whether it's in an assembly or whether it's at the workplace, wherever it is, we ought to have Jesus in our eye. And the world should be able to see that you and I are Christians, unwavering Christians. And if you're a Christian this morning and you wish to turn back to God, or if you're not a Christian, and you know that you need to obey the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, there could be no finer time than right now. To wait to do that when you know you ought to do it is to waver. That's what it really is, what we're talking about, is to waver. God's telling you to obey him, and the devil is telling you, not now. And so you waver, you fall from your steadfastness over here or over here. And you've taken your eyes off Christ. There is no greater time to begin a new life with Jesus Christ than this morning. And the question I ask you is, will you surrender in obedience to the gospel? You know, when Peter was walking on that water and he began to sink, you think he put his eyes back on Jesus? I think he did. He didn't push him away. He didn't say, not today. I'll give that some consideration. But he reached up to the only one, the unwavering Savior, to save his life. He's the only one who can save yours this morning. If out of your belief in Jesus to be the Son of God, because you've heard the message this morning, and you really believe it, would you repent of your sins? Turn to Christ in New Testament baptism, following your confession in Christ to be the Son of God. And then be faithful unto Him. You see, with unwavering dedication and daily focus on our goals, the seemingly impossible becomes possible and achievable. If we can assist you this morning into drawing closer to the unwavering Word of God, an unwavering Savior, and longing for the unwavering heaven, and becoming a part of this great unwavering church, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.